If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. In other words, it takes, if you have a dull axe, it takes a lot more effort to do what you need to do. And that's where I read that quote from. Abraham Lincoln said, give me 6 hours to cut down a tree. I'm going to spend the first four sharpening the axe. And that's where we kind of came. Lord, sharpen our senses. Because when we get our senses, our spiritual senses, sharpened to the point where they need to be, then we're going to be a whole lot more effective. It's going to take less strength on our part because we're going to have the power of God working in our favor in a tremendous way. Can you say amen? And so in this time of fasting and praying, that's what we've been seeking, asking the Lord to do. Lord, sharpen our senses. As we come to the end of this specific time of prayer and fasting, this particular time of prayer and fasting may be coming to an end, but I truly believe, but we are beginning to see as well as we'll see the results well beyond a day or week, as we said this morning, month and possibly years to come. I truly believe, as it always does, that this time of fasting has set the pace for the rest of the year and beyond. As we are coming to a conclusion of this time, I believe the Lord has given us some things we need to be aware of and understand as we are coming off the fast. Sometimes there's some practical applications about fasting I want us to look at as we're coming off the fast. I want to say thank you for all of you who have been fasting and praying, whether you fasted one meal through this whole time, whether you fasted something on the internet. I know people fasted social media. I know some folks fasted Facebook. I know some folks fasted some particular foods, and I'm hearing great reports of what God has done in this time of the fast. But one of the things we've got to see is most of the time, not only does God move during the time of fast, but most of the time God moves in a greater ways on the other side of the fast. Can you say amen? How many of you believe he can do that? Yes. He is. He will. As you're coming off the fast, here's some practical steps. Let moderation be your guide. Whether you're fasting with liquids or on a Daniel fast or just certain types of food, as you come out off, realize your stomach and digestive system has undergone quite a change. And it's not healthy to shock it back into your system. I learned this myself early on, many years ago. Donna and I had spent about 3 or 4 days in fasting and prayer, and I think that time I just did water, didn't eat any food, didn't drink any juice. I just did water completely that whole 3 or 4 days. And I told her, I said, honey, on Saturday morning, I want you to fix me eggs, bacon, biscuits, toast, everything we've got in the refrigerator. I want a big breakfast. I ate that big breakfast, and I paid for it the rest of the day. It tore my system up. Hello. Just on a 3 or 4 day fast. So be careful not to shock your system. Eat some small portions. Avoid greasy foods. Avoid too much sweets or too many starchy foods at one time. Don't overeat. Eat things like fresh fruit, soup, yogurt, bagels, small amounts of bread, drinking water and juice as your system returns back to normal. But also use this time to examine your eating habits. I'm preaching to myself. Those few adjustments in the right way can help you keep healthy. One of our senior saints and her husband have been joining in on this time of fasting and praying and being careful of eating bread and sweets. And she told me her husband had lost 10 pounds and his sugar level had returned well back close to normal. Can you say amen? Now, that's not the goal of the time of fasting, but God will bless in abundant ways. Can you say amen? Use this time, again, to examine your eating habits and allow those few adjustments in the right way. It'll help stay healthy. If you fasted time on the computer, if you fasted Facebook, television, certain things, social media, video games, young people, don't rush back into them and spend hours trying to catch back up. Again, use this time to help discipline your time for more important things, especially spiritual things. Can you say amen? Paul made this statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 9. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate. Say temperate. Temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run, thus not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself become disqualified or become a castaway. That word temperate means to exercise self-restraint, self-control, power over mastering or curbing or restraining certain things. If you can do it for 21 days, if you can do it through a time of fasting and praying for 21 days, guess what? You can do it far beyond that. Can you say amen? Let that be something you've used this time of fasting for. If you have an area of weakness, believe God to help strengthen you to be temperate in that area. Use this time to lead you to set up regular times of fasting in your life. Now, if you've not, I've talked to a few people. If you've been around here very long, you know we're a church that believes in fasting and praying. Fasting helps us to stay spiritually alert. Fasting helps us to keep our spiritual senses sharp. Fasting helps us to stay in tune with the Lord and helps us to be more sensitive to the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Jesus, in preaching his Sermon on the Mount, made this statement. He said, moreover, when you fast, do not be like the hypocrites with sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces that they may appear to men to be fasting. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you fast, anoint your head and wash your face so that you do not appear to men to be fasting, but to your Father who is in the secret place. And listen to this. And your Father who is in secret will reward you openly. Your Father who is in secret will reward. Didn't say it might, didn't say he could, didn't say there's a good chance. When we've done it in the right way and in the right spirit, he says he will reward us openly. What have you been fasting for? What have you been believing for? Don't back up now, because I believe when we are fasting with the right heart and the right attitude and the right spirit, our Heavenly Father will reward us openly. And how many of you know he rewards us way better many times than we deserve? Can you say amen? In that same message on the Sermon on the Mount, he gives us four spiritual disciplines that helps us to grow and mature in him. The Word, when you pray, when you give, when you fast. Just as we have set aside a specific time to fast once a year, to fast as a and pray as a body, why not set up times each month or a week for personal times of fasting and pray? Well, Brother Dawes, I can't do this all the time. Sure you can. And you'll be surprised over a year what can happen. Let me give you just a couple examples. Are y'all with me tonight? If you fast just one meal a week, now we're looking at this from eating three meals a day, all right, every day. If you just fast one meal a week for a whole year, that's the same thing as fasting 17 days in a row. Isn't that awesome? If you fast just one meal a week, if you fast two meals a week, that's the same thing as fasting 34 days. If you fast one day or three meals a week, that's the same thing as fasting 52 days. If you fast one day a month, that's the same thing as fasting 12 days. In other words, Jesus didn't say, if we can fast, he said, but when you fast. And as we fast, guess what? We are going to keep our spiritual senses sharp as they need to be. Will it help you spiritually? Absolutely. Absolutely. Biblical fasting, again, is when we deny the physical to yield to the spiritual. And it has a tremendous impact on our spiritual as well as our physical bodies alike. Prayer combined with fasting will bring about breakthroughs that nothing else can. I'm going to say that again. Prayer combined with fasting will bring about breakthroughs that nothing else can. The great preacher Charles Spurgeon made this statement. Our seasons of fasting and praying at the tabernacle have been high days indeed. Never has heaven's gate stood wider. Never have our hearts been nearer the central glory. I want to tell you, it's surprising that I love to hear people talk about, this time of fasting and praying. Yes, it's difficult. Yes, if it was easy, everybody could do it. Can you say amen? But when we do it, When we do apply our hearts to fasting and praying, it's amazing how much God moves, not only in our services, but far beyond. Can you say amen? Fasting must be centered on God. I love what it said back in the early church in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 13, verse 2, as they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid their hands on them and sent them away. I love how the NIV puts it. While they were worshiping the Lord and fasting. See, fasting and praying and what else? Worshiping. As they ministered to who? Not to us, but as they ministered to the Lord. Fasting is a way that we minister to God. Fasting is a way we worship God. How do we worship God when we're fasting? We worship Him because we are obeying a principle that He has given. We're obeying. We're giving Him the tools. We're giving Him the freedom to work in our lives in a way, far greater way than we could ever imagine. Through how? Through fasting and praying. There's some pretty impressive list of folks in the scriptures that had tremendous ministries because they were people of fasting and praying. We have Moses the lawgiver, David the king, Elijah the prophet, Esther and Mordecai, the queen and her uncle, Daniel the seer, Anna the prophetess, John the Baptist, Paul the apostle, and Jesus Christ the Son of God. All were tremendous people because they were men and women of fasting and prayer. Can you say amen? It makes a difference. Touch your neighbor and say it makes a difference. Young people, let me tell you something. I wish I would have had a pastor that would have told me about fasting and pray. Because what we're talking about in fasting and praying not only works for folks my age, and that's young still, but it will work for young people your age with the stuff you're going through at school, with the stuff you're going through in your homes. Wherever you are, that principle will work for you and you will draw closer to the Lord in tremendous ways. Can you say amen? I want us to be aware of something else. Be aware toward the end of the time of fasting, toward the end of the time of fasting, where are we at with this 21 days of fasting? We're close to the end. We can be vulnerable for a spiritual attack. Brother Doss, that don't make too much sense. Yeah, it does. Why? How can we be vulnerable for a spiritual attack? At the end of a fast, we tend to let our guard down and we tend to relax. Whew, this time of fasting is over. I'm going to get me a Big Mac. Hallelujah. Now, keep in mind, we've got to be careful what we eat. We tend to relax. The enemy... And we are somewhat physically weak. The enemy, if he can't stop you from fasting and praying, he will do his dead level best to discourage, to destruct, and rob you of the results or the outcome. I'm going to say that again. If he can't stop you from fasting and praying, he will do his dead level best to disrupt and disturb and steal from you what the outcome or the results would be. If he did it to Jesus, he'll do it to you and I. Matthew said in Matthew chapter 4, verse 1, then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward he was hungry. Said he was hungry. Now when the tempter came to him, when did he come to him? Afterward. Now I believe the enemy was knocking on his door the whole 40 days. But when did Satan turn up the greatest heat upon him? Afterward, at the end of that time. I believe that was Jesus' time of setting the pace and preparing himself for the next 3 years that lay before him. Because he had just got baptized and the Spirit led him out in the wilderness. And that's where he was 40 days fasting and praying and seeking God. Can you say amen? But at the end of it, he's hungry. He's physically weak. But he's spiritually what? Strong. And that's when the enemy shows up. Can you say amen? Again, Jesus, I believe, was spending his time 40 days set the pace and prepare for the rest of his ministry. The enemy couldn't stop him, but he was trying to undo the effects or the purpose. But Christ soundly defeated him. How did he defeat him? It is written, it is written, it is written. Can you say amen? Amen. Satan tried to twist the scripture to make it fit. He said, if you'll just turn this rock into bread, you'll be able to eat something. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. He said, if you'll just bow down and worship me, he said, I'll give this all to you. Jesus says, oh no, you shall worship the Lord and him only shall you serve. The Bible says, then Satan took him up on a high temple. I don't know if that physically happened, but I kind of believe it did. He said, if you'll just throw yourself down, it is written that he will give his angels charge over you unless you dash your foot against the stone. Jesus said, it is written, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. And Satan had to back up him from him for a season. The angels came and ministered to him at that point. So be aware. Sister Phyllis was sharing with me, and Brother Joe was, Sister Phyllis looked at me and said, what's he going to say? She was talking about this time of fasting, that this has been a very difficult time in circumstances and situations. But through this time of fasting, she's had the spiritual strength to be able to deal with not only the things here, but in the things out there. Can you say amen? And guess what? That spiritual strength that we receive from fasting and praying will help us not only during this time, again, as it's closing out, but it'll help us tomorrow and the next day and next week. And as long as we keep our eyes focused on him and keep praying, can you say amen? Are y'all with me tonight? That's about three of you. Praise God. The Bible tells us, be sober in 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the inner world. Oh, he wants to steal, kill, and destroy you, and destroy what the results of this time of fasting has. James 4:7 says, therefore submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Remember, physically you may be weak, but spiritually you're going to be stronger. Stay submitted to the Lord, and you will have, and the enemy will have to back off. 1 John 4:4, I love this scripture. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. As we are fasting and praying, as we continue to be submitted to God, as we don't let our guard down, our spiritual senses will be much sharper. Can you say amen? Next thing, believe God to accomplish what you've been fasting for. Believe God to accomplish what you've been fasting for. Mark chapter 11, verse 24, therefore I say to you, whatever things you ask in prayer, things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you will have them. I'm going to read that again. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, believe that you receive them and you might have them. There's a good chance. No, he says you will have them. Pray for God's will and purpose in what you're seeking, but be in expectation and believing to move in mighty ways in what you're fasting and believing for. It may not be in the way you expected it. It may not show up in the time frame you wanted it. But I want you to, let's not put limitations on God. We just need God to move how he will, where he will, when he will, and who he will move in. Can you say amen? Don't put any restrictions on God. God, we just need you to move. Can you say, and keep believing for it. Ephesians chapter 3:20 says, now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. When we're fasting and praying and believing and saying what you're fasting and praying for may seem like an impossible situation, but it says right there, the Apostle Paul says it right there, and it's for you and I today. To him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, can you say amen? God will go far beyond what we're asking and thinking just to reveal his love, his presence, and his power to our lives. Can you say amen? And I love this scripture. You know what? Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. When we are called and we've been fasting and praying, he's going to answer. Touch your neighbor and say, he's going to answer. Our theme has been, Lord, sharpen our senses. First week we talked about our spiritual vision. And before we can see to help others, we've got to look within and make sure that everything's right here with God's help. Then when it is, then we can reach out and help others. We've got to make sure our spiritual hearing is sharp. I don't know if you got anything out of last Sunday morning's message, but it has been speaking to me all week, over and over in Revelations. When Jesus is talking, especially in chapter 2 and 3, when he's talking to the seven churches, to every church says, this says he, and it's talking about Jesus. And at every closing of all the seven churches, says, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. If there's ever a day and ever an hour we need to be listening for the voice of the Spirit, it is today. Our victory, our ability to prevail, our ability to conquer, our ability to walk in strength and peace and joy is completely tied to us being able to hear and to obey and apply what the Lord is speaking to us. Can you say amen? God, sharpen our spiritual senses. Sharpen our hearing. Today we talked about our taste, what we're hungering for. What we're hungering for. Now, might have ruffled a few feathers this morning, but you're going to have to take it up with the Lord. Hello. But what are we hungering for? And Jesus said, blessed is he that are hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for they shall be filled. And we talked about all the things that we're going to be filled. Tonight we're going to cover the last two, and I'm going to be quick. What's another sense we have? Let me give you a clue. How in the world can the Lord sharpen our sense of smell? See, the thing about it, when we're talking about sharpening the sense of smell, it's not what we're smelling that we need to be concerned with. It's what he's smelling. When God called Moses up on the mountain, come on somebody. When God called Moses up on the mountain, he not only gave him the Ten Commandments, he gave him the pattern for the tabernacle in the wilderness. He gave him how everything was supposed to be built. He gave him everything that was supposed to go in the outward court, in the holy place, and then in the holiest of holy places, the holy, most holy place. That's where the ark was. But one thing that sat right in the middle right before you walked in the holiest of holy, I don't know why I've cried, was a thing called the altar of incense. And God laid it out exactly how tall it was supposed to be, how wide it was supposed to be, and how deep it was supposed to be. And God said, you are to make an incense to be burned on that altar every morning and every night. You put it on there every morning and you put it on there every evening when Aaron goes in to trim the lambs. And it's a continual aroma for a sweet-smelling savor, not for Aaron, not for Moses, not for any of the priests, but for the Lord. He went in there every morning and every evening in Exodus chapter 30. And Aaron shall burn on it sweet incense every morning. When he tends the lamps, he shall burn incense on it. And when Aaron lights the lamps at twilight, he shall burn incense on it. It's a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. They did it all through the many hundred years of the Old Testament. And even in the New Testament, we see the incense still going on. We see the prophet Zechariah ministering to the Lord at his time when he finds out about who his son is going to be. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 1, verse 10, and the whole multitude of the people were praying outside at the hour of incense. And Zechariah said, and the Bible says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing on the right side of the altar of incense. What is that a type of? What is it? Everything in that temple, everything in that tabernacle is a type and a shadow of things that represent our spiritual life. Most of them represent the Lord Jesus Christ, but the altar of incense is different. The altar of incense represents our prayer. The altar of incense represents our worship. The altar of incense represents our praise that are supposed to go up on a continual basis. It was a time when the priest would walk in there every morning for an hour. He would stand there and he would offer up prayers at the altar of incense for an hour. And every evening he would walk in there and he would offer that prayer for the altar of incense for an hour. He would offer up that prayer unto the Lord. It said it was a sweet smelling savor unto God. It shall be for all our generations. Can you say amen? Then outside there was the bronze laver where they sacrificed the animals. And when they were sacrificed those animals to cover their sins, to cover their peace offerings, to cover all those different offerings, the Bible said it was a sweet smelling savor unto the Lord. And when it was done in the right heart, in the right spirit, guess what? He was well pleased with it. Can you say amen? In fact, Aaron had just being at the altar of incense, when they put the tabernacle all together, and after Aaron was at the altar of incense, the Bible says the glory of the Lord sat down on the tabernacle so that the priest couldn't stand to minister in there anymore. It symbolizes our worship and our prayers unto the Lord. Can you say amen? If he desired it in the Old Testament, and he desired it in the New Testament. I don't have to go to a priest. I don't have to go to Brother Kendron way up in Montgomery for him to offer prayers for me. I can come into the very holy place myself before his presence, into his very throne room, and offer up my worship, offer up my praise, offer up my prayers unto the Lord. Can you say amen? Amen. That's where we need. I can sing a hallelujah. Come on, somebody. You put fasting with that? Lord, I'm shutting everything else out. Putting down my phone. Putting down my tablet. Turning off the television. Come on, somebody. And all of a sudden, the Father goes, my child, you're getting this. And he will move in a mighty way in our life. See, the smell is not for us, but we need to sharpen our sense of smell because we need to be concerned with what is he smelling about our lives? Are we offering up a sweet-smelling savor? Because I also read where some folks walked in there at different times and they offered strange fire. And they came out dead. Well, I'm glad God don't do that anymore. But I want to tell you, church, when our heart's right and we've been seeking the Lord and we've been at that altar of incense, wherever it may be, at your home, in your car, on your job, here at the altar of the Lord, you better look out because things are going to change. When hearts are not right, God doesn't hear our prayers, but oh, when they are. Oh, when they are. My Bible tells me when they are, walls can fall flat. Paul and Silas made an altar of incense in the middle of a Philippian jail. And at midnight, begin to pray and sing praises to God. They begin, you know what God said? Angel, go down there and rock their socks off. He didn't say that, but But it shook the very foundations of the prison and everyone's bands was loosed. When we are hungering and thirsting for the things of God, when we're setting aside those things and we are giving up that praise and that worship, can you say amen? God will move in tremendous ways. We don't have to thank God. We don't have to sacrifice animals because Jesus was our ultimate sacrifice. Can you say amen? But there's some things we need to sacrifice. Can you say amen? Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15 says this. Therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifices of praise to God that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. We need to have the sacrifice of praise. Well, Brother Dawes, I just didn't feel like it. It doesn't say if you felt like, feel like it. Whether I feel like it or not is irrelevant. He is worthy of all the honor, all the praise, all the glory that we can muster. Can you say amen? Just for who he is. Aaron and the priest and men like Zechariah walked in every morning and every night. Now, I'm sure they didn't have the goosebumps every day, but it didn't matter. They still got to that altar of incense. See, the Bible tells us that Paul said we need to pray without what? Ceasing. It needs to be a continual prayer and praise in our hearts and our lives. We need to offer up that sacrifice of praise. We need to offer up that sacrifice of thanksgiving. Psalms 107, verse 22. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. Can you say amen? Then there's another sacrifice we need to offer up. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. I think about men like Daniel in the Old Testament, and I wonder how could we have way more available to us than he did, but how could he have such an impact spiritually on a whole nation? Every time a new ruler changed, Daniel kept rising to the top. How could he just keep having an impact? How could he maintain that relationship with God, not for a week or two, not for a month, not after a time of revival, but for years and decades through his whole life? How could he do that? Because three times a day he would take time and he would make an altar of incense to the Lord, offering up his worship and praise. Church, if it worked for them, it'll work for you and I. Can you say amen? The last sense is the sense of touch. And I'm going to go back to our original scripture. If the axe is dull and one does not sharpen the edge, then he must use more strength. But wisdom brings success. When we've got the edge sharpened, when we've got our spiritual senses sharpened to the point, then the only thing that remains is the sense of touch. And the scripture says in Mark, thou shalt love the Lord thy God. If we can go ahead and put that up, because I'm going to have to read it. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. This is the first commandment. And the second is like unto it. And the second is like it, is this. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. How does that apply to the sense of touch? God sharpened our senses. So, Lord, I can reach up and touch you and get full of your presence and full of your power. Then, God, you can work through me to reach out and touch someone else. The connection is complete. Our sense of touch says it's not all about me. Is about worshiping the Lord in the Spirit and truth and making a difference in the life of somebody else. Can you say amen? I love what it says about Jesus. So many times we we overlook certain scriptures, and maybe you have not, but I kind of overlooked this scripture in Luke. It says, and the whole multitude sought to touch him, for power went out from him and healed them all. Power went out from him and healed them who? All. Didn't say some, said all. I believe he's got more power today than he did then. Why? Because Calvary's behind him. And he's seated at the right hand of God. And when he got there, he said, all power on heaven and earth has been given to me. I believe he's got more power, but I believe he still wants to make contact. Can you say amen? I still believe he wants to reach down for those who are hungry and those who are thirsty and wants to make contact and reach down and work through somebody that's willing to touch others. Can you say amen? To bring healing, to bring salvation, to bring peace. Lord, sharpen our sense of touch. If I can just touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. Tonight, God can use us to help others be made whole. Are you with us tonight?